Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
The Killer Bees!
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank on Branham, Brian McDonald, filling in today for a never-working Brendan Riley. And Brendan picked the wrong day not to work, because we're just going to celebrate all things New York. The city so twice, you got to say it twice. They're very kind to the Astros in the ALCS. They decided not to win a game in the ALCS. The Astros sweeping the New York Yankees, fourth ALCS title in the last 6 years for the Houston Astros.
I want to rewrite this. Start spreading the brooms.
You should have done it. Why didn't you do it?
We're sweeping today. You don't want any part of it, New York, New York, because that's what happened. It couldn't have. We talked about the revenge tour, and it could have been you beat the Yankees, you beat the Dodgers. Well, if you can't beat the Dodgers because they can't even get there, what's better than beating the Yankees and on top of it kicking the living crap out of them so that you sweep their ass? It was beautiful. It was everything that you could have asked for and more. And the fact that you've shut up an entire city that size where they have just zero to blame it on, bitch about, because they were completely manhandled. And I love Pedro Martinez in the postgame show that said, you thought it was me, you thought it was Big Poppy. I got one question, New York. Who's your daddy now? It's the Houston Astros.
There's no doubt about it. The Astros are the only team in franchise history. This is a weird stat to me. The only team in franchise history, in Major League Baseball history, to eliminate the Yankees 4 times out of the postseason. The Yankees have been around since like the beginning of time in Major League Baseball. The Astros have been in the American League, the same league as the New York Yankees, for a decade. This is their 10th year in the American League, and the Astros are the only team in Major League Baseball history that has eliminated the Yankees 4 times, and they've done it in 10 years. They went to the ALCS 6 straight times in 10 years. They've won the AL 4 times in 10 years. The Houston Astros, and I know this wasn't like a popular thing whenever Major League Baseball moved the Astros to the American League, the Houston Astros had a hostile takeover of the American League. They own the American League. They own the New York Yankees. They are the best team in the AL.
You know what's what
I
we
have
always
one question.
Yes.
For all of New York.
Yes.
New York. Who's your daddy now? I just want to know. I want an answer, and I want it quick. New York, who's your daddy? Should I say the Astros? It's not Big Papi anymore. It's not me. Who's your daddy? I want to ask New York.
Who's your daddy? The Astros are the Yankees' daddies, without a shadow of a doubt.
Well, that's the thing. For all the people on the concourse that were chanting F. Altuve and we want you, bring on Houston, we want, you got what you wanted, and boy, did you get a steady dose of it, because you got your asses handed to you, and it was a whole lot of fun watching it. And literally, Paul and I were talking about it as we were switching chairs here, and we both have a lot of friends in New York that are Yankees fans. They came in with a whole lot of bravado. They came out with not a single excuse and not anything to say other than putting their tails between their legs and realizing the Astros truly are their daddy, and there's nothing they can say about it.
No, there's not. Let's talk a little bit about the game indeed. We're going to have fun with New York all day long because they deserve it. We want Houston, Yankee fans said. I love what the Astros Twitter did after the game, because one thing that I will at least say this about New York, at least they weren't crying about some stupid Twitter picture tweet after the game like Seattle did. You know what I mean? Like, we saw the broom for the Astros Twitter, and they swept Seattle, and they had a few harmless signs on the ground. Well, the Astros Twitter did it again yesterday with the Yankees. One thing I will say about Yankee fans, and look, I don't think too highly of them, but one thing I will say about this, at least they're not griping on Twitter about some silly broom photo that the Houston Astros Twitter account put out.
Right. No, you're right. I mean, look, in a lot of ways, they obviously can dish it out. But if they can take it too, then it's all fine and it's all good in the neighborhood, because of the fact that, you know, if they had started to continue with the roof and then say, well, you know, if they would have tried to blame the rain last night or you know, if Nestor's groin, or was it really a groin, by the way, but, you know, whatever it was that forced him out of the game. And I saw your tweet. I was thinking the exact same thing. Is he really hurt? Or did you really not expect to need a guy up this early, and that's your way to get him up?
If he was really hurt, they would have taken him out the first time they came to the mound.
No question. So, I mean, to me, at least if they can take it and they're not going to get sensitive at the Astros Twitter account, and they look, they started it. They started it before the series. They went right back to their old ways, and we go back to when they played, the two teams played in the regular season, too, about we'll wait and see what happens in October if it's the same way. Well, it was. And you wanted it, you got it, and you got a steady dose of it.
I thought this series was going to go five. We never set our predictions on the air. I thought it was going to go five, and I kind of alluded to it last week after the Yankees beat the Guards in the ALDS, where it seemed like after they won Game 5, where Boone's like managing that Game 5 like it's Game 7 of the World Series, John Heyman saying that this victory against the Guardians in the elimination game saved their jobs, and then saved his job, and then you see things throughout the series, too, that just like reeked of desperation. Whether it was Aaron Boone saying, "Oh, the you know we got beat because of the roof," and like, was that taken out of context? I don't know. But Luis Severino saying that the Astros got lucky was not taken out of context. That reeked like desperation to me. Harrison Bader had that one plate appearance against Javier in which he was out of the batter's box trying to guard, like get as close to the plate as possible.
Right.
That reeked desperation of me. You had Anthony freaking Rizzo tell the umpire for Christian Javier to hide
his
jewelry.
Yep.
Have you seen a Major League Baseball game this year? Pitchers wear jewelry all the time, and you had Anthony Rizzo telling the umpire to get on Christian Javier to tuck his jewelry in. Yeah. Are you serious? And then, like, the whole rain delay yesterday, I don't think the Yankees had much to do with that, but the entire series reeked of desperation for the New York Yankees.
There's no question about it. It was grasping at straws. It was constantly looking for another excuse, another out, another way to blame somebody other than themselves. And instead of looking in the mirror, they kept looking outwardly to try and find yet another reason. I said after the game, too, Brian Cashman, what are you going to say now? Brian Cashman, when is your next GQ article when you find some desperate way to try and save your ass and blame the Astros for stealing your sunshine yet again and say that, you know, and talk about just what a travesty it was that they basically bitch slapped you for four games and sent you home when you were like, you know, their cheating ways was the only thing that prevented your Yankees from getting to a World Series. No, you know what prevented you from getting to the World Series? The steam engine that kept running you over time after time again, like you highlighted, it was called the Houston Astros as an organization. That's it.
A lot of fun. Jeremy Pena named the ALCS MVP. I thought it was a great decision. I thought it was obvious that Jeremy Pena, like he had other players that played really well.
I think it was Bregs until Pena hit the home run last night.
Yeah, that's fine. Like Bregman even had the game-winning RBI yesterday. Like I could have went either way, but Jeremy Pena winning it, well-deserved in my opinion. He or Bregman, could you have them in the conversation? Yeah, I think so. But Jeremy Pena for me was the ALCS MVP. I'm happy whenever I heard that it was Jeremy Pena that he was able to win it. I think it does wonders for a rookie, too. Like, Bregman doesn't need that, you know? Like, nothing. Yeah. Bregman doesn't need that. Bregman's already established as a Major League Baseball player, is having a really good bounce-back year after 2 years in which he wasn't very good. I think for a rookie to win that award, and with the, you know, the postseason that Jeremy Pena is having, that has been incredible. Like, not to say that it's going to spark his career, because I already felt like his career was on that trajectory, but I think it could expedite the process maybe a little bit.
Well, there's no doubt in the fact that from the standpoint of Alex Bregman, all he needed was a national stage to realize what we realized starting in July, that he's healthy. That he's, when he's healthy, he's back. And when he's back to being the old Alex Bregman, the swagger's back and the cockiness is back. And the average and the pop and you know, and they keep talking about all these numbers keep stacking up, which a lot has to do with the fact that you've made this run over the last 6 years. But most home runs and most runs batted in by a third baseman in playoff history, that's saying something. But seeing, like you said, the clutch hit when they needed it late in the game to pull back ahead or tie the game, do those kind of things, hit for average, hit for power, be the leader this team needs, that's all he needs. I mean, he knows he's gotten his share of accolades and awards, but that's what he needed for his own psyche. That's the same thing that Jeremy Pena needs. He needs that little psyche boost. He needed it. He got it. He did. It started with the Seattle series with the home run in the 18-inning game. But the fact that he was able to do it, and again, like you and I were the ones that were advocates for this that everybody was crapping on us for, his defense was fantastic in this series.
Well, I thought you were going to say the pay the man.
No, I'm saying
go either way.
But I'm saying his defense, the play again last night, ranging,
nasty.
The ball looked like it barely stayed in his glove, but he was able to make every play.
Yeah.
The ball off Bregman's mitt, he bare hands, he throws guys out. He gets the clutch hits, the big hits, and he gets the award. He's riding high on a lot of confidence.
That play he made yesterday that you're talking about, I can't remember who it was off the bat of, but I can't remember. But anyways, the range that he covers, and like this is what Peña does that I think kind of like people overlook his defense and why. He has those long strides where it looks effortless. Like remember when Carlos Beltran was at his peak and he was so fast, but whenever he ran,
glide.
It seemed like he was in slow motion.
Yep.
But he was going really fast. Why? Because he was gliding, because he had long strides. I think the same thing with Jeremy Peña and his range. Like, and I heard Alex Bregman talking about this in one of the media availabilities during the ALCS. Can't remember what game it was. But they asked him about Jeremy Peña's defense. I think it was the same day that Peña got announced as a finalist for the Gold Glove, one of the three finalists for the Gold Glove, which they don't give that award to bad defensive players. He said that he's elite side to side. And part of the reason that maybe a lot of people don't see that is because I think from side to side, how effortless it looks, it doesn't look like he's covering tons of ground. But that play yesterday, you can see where he was at time of contact when the ball was hit and how far he had to go to get to it. And one of the other concerns that people had, and look, he had a decent amount of errors, I would say, because he's getting to more balls than other people are, was his arm. Like, his arm was a concern during the regular season for some people. Haven't seen one miscue with his arm in the playoffs.
And he's getting a lot of love nationally for having an above-average arm, which is, again, something we talked about. You don't have the rifle that Carlos Correa does, but no one else does either. I mean, Carlos Correa has a God-given skill set that you don't see very often in decades at the shortstop position to have all the different tools that he had in his tool belt. But guess what? That's what he's always being compared to, the best defensive shortstop that we've seen in Houston, that Major League Baseball, it's one of the best that Major League Baseball has seen in the last, you know, several years. So it was unfair coming in, and we knew that. The odds were stacked against him because he was trying to match up to a guy that just got paid a buku amount of bucks because he had earned his stripes. But you know what he did? He did what he did best, which was be himself. He hit when he had to hit. He fielded. He didn't try to do too much too soon. And it took a time for everybody to kind of come over to that side and say, okay, he's doing it now. And if you were on the fence at all, this playoff run has totally convinced everybody. They got their shortstop of the now, the future, and they made the exact right move letting Correa walk.
Astros sweep the Yankees. We want you in on the fun. 713-780-ESPN. Hell, a little New York, New York. Come on, everybody. Join in. 713-780-3776. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. I'm at Jeremy Branham. Where does this sweep of the Yankees rank on the most satisfying non-title moments in Houston sports history? You sweep the Yankees!
Hitters count. Peña, 3-1. And he swings and lifts one in the air deep to left field. He'll watch it fly! Jeremy Peña! One swing of the bat, and the Astros...
Mr. Roof, you know, you dream about this stuff when you're a kid, and... You know, shout out to my teammates. You know, we show up every single day. You know, we stay true to ourselves all year. And, yeah, we're a step away from the ultimate goal.
Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
The ALCS MVP, Jeremy Peña, the three-run homer in that third inning, knocks Nestor Cortez out of the game, Nestor the molester, and then the Astros getting to the Yankees bullpen. Two runs in the seventh inning on the way to the 6-5 victory, on the way to the sweep of the New York Yankees. If you can do it there, you can do it anywhere. On to the World Series for the fourth time in 6 years for the Houston Astros. Jeremy Peña has been fantastic. Now, it knocks me down on the Jeremy power rankings in this city. I wasn't very high to begin with, but it does move me down a notch. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. A few people on the HR&P listener line, 6030. Please talk about the home plate umpire blatantly calling a one-sided strike zone. They have those... I forget the Twitter, but they do like the strike zone audits, like the scorecard.
The day after.
The one today, I've not seen one. I don't study these. I don't look at all of them. whenever I do see them, I've never seen one greater than a run one way or the other. Right. It's usually like 0.3, 0.4.
Yeah,
like the most egregious is like half a run. The umpire strike zone, which, by the way, dude's from Houston.
I was just going to say, that was the big, I think it's Nimitz High School, but he's
from
Houston.
It was Milby. It was Milby and then went to Texas Southern. So he's Houston
through and
through. Adrian Johnson's his name. Yeah, the Yankees gained over a run advantage with the strike zone of Adrian Johnson.
There were a
couple,
my whole house is sleeping, and I almost lost my mind. I was about to scream going, oh, are you kidding me?
You know the one that I was like that, and look, I think you and I probably don't get as animated about strikes as some people.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
But, you know, watching a game, you see one that he misses, you're like, come on, man, that's a strike. The one that bothered me, that really honestly stuck with me the entire game, was ball four to Jose Altuve in the top of the first inning. The one where he rung him up on a strike that far off the outside corner. I did not get over that one. I didn't.
There were several for me. There were several when the Astros were painting the low part of the strike zone, and they just couldn't buy one, and they were at key moments, and I want to say they were Rizzo and Judge for sure, and maybe one to Stanton where I was like, oh, no, 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 timeout. Those aren't below the line. Those are either on or slightly above the line, and it's one thing when you say, oh, they're working that zone. He's got his own zone, but it's for both sides, and there's always going to be a couple the Astros get away with, or you know, but that was last night was as egregious as I've seen in a while. That was an Angel Hernandez type performance.
Yeah, it was pretty bad, but the Astros get the win, so who cares at this point, right?
Right, right.
We're
not Yankees.
Upward.
We're not looking for excuses.
Yeah, reeking of desperation. 713-780-ESPN. Caleb says, I still firmly believe if Jordan doesn't hit that walk-off in game one of the division series, we would not be where we are now. So much credit deserved there. Look, who knows? Like, it's tough to rewrite history. The Astros did win the next two games following that. Did that spark what has been a 7-0 start in the postseason? Obviously, right? You don't get the home run there. You have at least one loss in the loss column. I'm not sure that the Astros still don't get to the World Series, but could the path there be different? Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say otherwise. 1970, if the Astros sweep the World Series, has any other team done that in Major League Baseball history? So no one has done that since in like the wild card era, which I believe started in 1994. There's never been a team that has swept all three rounds, that has swept the division series, the LCS, and then the World Series. The last time that it was done was the Big Red Machine in Cincinnati, but of course they didn't have the wild card round. Right. They went straight to the LCS, which in their case was the NLCS, then the World Series. And I think the NLCS back then was only a best of five, too. I think they went 7-0. So, no, I would say don't overlook Philadelphia, though. They're very good. They're very hot.
They have
a very good lineup, and they have a top two in their starting rotation of Wheeler and Nola that are very, very good. So, like, I understand the question. I'm not willing to look at that a whole lot. Ocho, happy to be wrong about Jeremy Pena. Dude has been absolutely clutch. Look, that's the one thing, too. Like, James Click gets we talk a lot about James Click, rightfully so. He's the general manager of the best team in the city. We've seen the contract is up at the end of the year. We've seen rumors that maybe Crane loves Sigmy Dell and he could be the new GM of the Houston Astros. The one thing that you credit, at least I credit James Click for, like a lot of times the best thing you can do is just keep the ship rolling, right? Keep the train going.
Basically, don't screw it up.
Don't screw it up. And he's made some significant moves that I just don't think are like sexy or move the needle a whole lot. Because if we just look at this one in a vacuum, this move to move on from Carlos Correa, that was an incredibly unpopular decision at the time. Everybody in this city, for the most part, wanted to hashtag pay the man. They were not pleased that Carlos Correa was gone. They were extremely unpleased, too, when they saw that it was a 3-year contract with a potential opt-out after year one. I mean, hindsight's 20/20 here. But very much, obviously, the right decision for James Click, which was, it took a lot of bravado, a lot of courage to do something like that.
No, it really did. And you know what? And the city was divided. And we know the pay the man, you know, talk and chants and passion that came with a guy that was a folk hero in Astros history. But I don't think that people saw what, obviously, James Click saw. And there's been subtle things that I give James Click credit for, and I'm with you. The biggest thing I give him credit for is making that move for that player, because you remember at the start of spring training, even Dusty didn't know who the shortstop. He even said, like, again last night, they weren't sure Pena was going to be their starting shortstop. It was him and Aledmys Diaz. They knew that's the guys that they had to choose from. They didn't know which guy was going to get the job, and there was some in the camp of go to the veteran that had played shortstop in the major leagues before, not the kid that had never played a major league game. But you know what? He stood with his beliefs. He went with that gut feeling. He didn't let anybody tell him differently. He convinced Dusty enough to give him a shot. And after a little shakiness on that very first game, that first opportunity ever in the big leagues, he settled right in and he gave you everything that you could have possibly asked for and more, especially for a guy making what he's making as opposed to $35 million a year. James Click has done his job. And as much as I've been critical of him, and I'm not sure if he's going to be the guy going forward or not, and there were plenty of times that I wanted him to do more, even the Vasquez and the moves, Mancini moves at this year's deadline, last year to redo the bullpen on the fly, when they needed a couple of guys just to kind of put them in the right frame of mind and direction bullpen-wise and got them. They haven't been the big moves we've been accustomed to under Jeff Luhnow and the big go-for-it moves that Jim Crane suddenly seems to really like, I think. But they've been moves that basically get back to what we were talking about. Just don't screw it up. If you find a slight weakness, do something to enhance it. But don't rock the boat. Don't do too much. And this team's going to do what it needs to do to make you look good.
Yeah, I think that's what you look at with when it comes to James Click. I'm kind of on the board here because, like, middle of the season, Dusty last year of the deal, like Joe Espada, James Click. Like I said last week, the whole James Click thing. Like, I look at GM spots and manager spots as I look at positions on the team. And even after you win a World Series, that you look to upgrade the position on the team. The Astros did that in 17 when they traded for Gerrit Cole. They wanted to upgrade at that position. They upgraded at that position. So that's kind of how I view the manager position, the GM position. If you want to make a move there because you feel like it's in the best interest of the team because you feel like you can get somebody better at that position, you do it regardless if you win a title or not. But the fact that you've won seven in a row to start the playoffs, everything's rolling. Who knows how the World Series is going to play out? I don't think that the result of the World Series is going to change the opinion that I have. I'm cool just rolling with the band. Like, keep the band together. James Click has done nothing wrong. I think James Click's a good, really good general manager. Dusty Baker, like, I think that I was overrating and overreacting to certain decisions over the course of 162. I was looking too much at the one game as opposed to the big picture and then looking forward to the playoffs as well. Keep the band together. That's where I'm at with Dusty Baker and James Click.
Yeah, I think we've always had a bunch to scrutinize with Dusty in the regular season. But you can't fault what he's done in the playoffs. And then when you hear the post-game comments, and you go from guys that don't say much to guys that say a whole lot, especially guys that, you know, like Verlander, who doesn't talk a whole lot. But you get some of the guys from Peña, the young kid who got the opportunity, to the Verlanders and the Bregmans about how much they love Dusty. Sometimes you just have to understand there might be better guys to pull the trigger on the right moves and press the right buttons in the regular season. But if he's that beloved in the clubhouse, and he has that much buy-in. Buy-in means so much because when you got it, you always got a chance. When you lose it, you might as well pack up your tents and go home because all the ability in the world can be lost when you see that. You're seeing something like that in Tampa Bay with the Buccaneers right now where Brady and all those guys, you know what? If Tom Brady was still leading that team thinking they had a chance every single play, every single week, but everybody's pointing fingers now, turning on each other, and internally they're a mess. That's what the Astros want to avoid because, again, it's complacency. And basically screwing yourself up, not somebody else taking it to you. And that's what you want to. That's why Dusty's fine, Click's fine, as long as Jim Crane's fine. I think Dusty's obviously going to survive, and we've heard from Heyman that there's an offer on the table in discussions. From the standpoint of Click, the wild card is just that owner in Jim Crane and a very volatile personality. And if he feels like no matter what Click was able to do, that it's been aggravating or there's been a lack of communication or there's been something where he doesn't like something. He's the owner. He can do whatever he wants.
713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line real quick. Brian, you're in the high with the Killer Bees. What's going on, Brian?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Happy Astros Day. Yankees Tears Day. I have a different feeling about going into the World Series this year than what I had last year. Last year, I felt like we were limping our way into the World Series. This year, I feel like we're very strong. What do you guys think?
I think that the layoff is going to be interesting here between the both sides of it. Like, the Phillies are red hot. The delay here matters for both teams. So it's unlike the Astros-Mariner series because the Astros had the long break, the five-day break, and the Mariners had played baseball, right? Same thing with all of the division series. The two teams that had a bye, they all had to wait a period of time and had to play a team that had just played a best-of-three series. The Astros and the Phillies are going to go into the World Series with a long layoff. There's 4 days without baseball. Game one's on Friday. The Astros haven't lost a game, so they're hot. I like the layoff in the sense that maybe it cools down the Phillies. Because the Astros had the better regular season. The Astros had the better record, all of those things. So this layoff is actually one that I like from an Astro perspective.
No, I think, you know what, you were going to have, because of the way it ended, you're going to have your rotation set up exactly how you want it to. I think the only thing I can say from an Astros perspective internally, it's Altuve just getting right. I would say step away from the game for two full days. Then come back and just relax and start taking swings in the cages and swings off some pitchers. But just try to just stop overthinking everything. You saw a lot of signs of that the last game in New York. I think he's going to be okay. But I'm with you. The one thing that I kept thinking was, from a Philadelphia perspective, we talked about a hot team in a short series. But the one thing that they got to worry about is their pitching lining up for a long series. But the hot team, from an offensive perspective, and the show that they put on against San Diego was so impressive. All I could think about was, give them a couple days to get away from the game so they don't keep this thing rolling. Because it's one thing to say Bryce Harper, but you can go up and down the lineup and talk about guys that found it, that never lost it, that started to pick it up. And offensively, from a guy that was quietly second in the entire league in home runs in Schwarber, and then you add an MVP every single year like Bryce Harper, and then you go up and down the line, you can go Real Muto, and you can go Hoskins, and you can go Castellanos. They've got, and Gene Segura, they've got real professional hitters on that squad.
We'll get to the, where does the sweep of the Yankees rank on the most satisfying non-title moments in Houston sports history at 12:45, but every Monday at 12:30... cleaning up some messes. Straight trash, homie. Might not just be Texan stuff today either.
It's the Yankees.
It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Clean up on all five.
Now that this week's game is in the books, let's do some cleaning up.
I want you to clean it up.
I want trash back!
Clean it up.
It's Straight Trash, homie, with the Killer Bees. Brought to you by Bavia Dumpster Rentals.
All right, Straight Trash Homie, presented by Bavia Dumpster Rentals. What do you want to lead it off with today, Blankers?
Well, look, it's normally a football-based segment because there's so much to clean up. The beauty to me is that if you're calling it piling on, I'm happy to jump off the top rope and do it again because I want to clean up the New York Yankees and their fan base, and I want to clean them up and throw them out, put them in a Bavia dumpster and send them as far off as I can send them and realize they got everything that they needed and more handed to them. And there's nothing they can do about it. From Twitter and all the people that were saying, wait till October, wait till this, first it was wait till the regular season and we play you. Then it's, okay, we'll see you in the playoffs and see how that works. Then it was, oh, we got the best record in the American League and we saw how that worked out. And now you're putting your tail between your legs, your ass has been handed to you, and you got a whole offseason to try and figure out what you got to do to try to get where we are. So I start with the ultimate dumpster dump, and that is everything New York, starting with the Yankees and their fans, in a dumpster and bye.
Yeah, they wanted Houston. They wanted Houston, and they got it. John Boy, this is a little like John Boy business that he has going on, too. I was looking at Twitter a lot last night. They're selling Houston Astros ALCS championship T-shirts. Like, John Boy, who, like, got his big break. And look, he was starting something with the whole lip-reading thing with Major League Baseball umpire arguments. But he really blew up on the back of accusing the Astros and Jose Altuve to be wearing a buzzer. Yep. And he used Carlos Beltran's niece on Twitter. I don't even know if she was real.
That's right.
As his primary source for this. And now you have people that are representatives of John Boy Media tipping their cap to the Houston Astros and literally selling merch for the Houston Astros.
Someone said Alex Bregman responded to it.
They did.
And said that we get our T-shirts from Apollo Media. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it was nice.
John Boy is, I mean, you talk about a guy that was completely created by the story he created and the internet sensation of how quickly fake news can spread. But yeah, that, what a hypocrisy that is. He's part of the Via dumpster fire right now. And he can jump in on that too, because screw John Boy, screw the Yankees, screw their fans. And screw anybody who thought that they had a freaking chance to beat the Astros in this series.
All right, here's mine. This came from yesterday's, was Straight Trash Homie. We're cleaning it up, presented by Bavia Dumpster Rentals. You might have noticed this in the post-game show if you stuck around, if you watched this, but Mr. Sensationalist himself romanticizes every single one of his takes and doesn't shut up and let the experts like Pedro Martinez, Jimmy Rollins, Curtis Granderson do some talking. Bob Costas opened up his pregame with Aaron Judge, by the way, and then followed up his commentary on Aaron Judge with this. having some issues behind.
Like excuses what the Astros did in 2017 and whatever might have surrounded that. They were sanctioned for it. Some people say the sanctions were not stiff enough, but at the very least, their championship in 2017 and championship in 20 for many carries a mental asterisk, if not an official asterisk. But those who continue to say that that explains away their success, it's like people who try to put all the Patriots' success and Belichick and Brady under the heading of Deflategate or taping a Rams practice before their first Super Bowl victory. It just doesn't add up. These guys have been in the LCS 6 straight years, and they've gone to the World Series 4 out of 6, and they can't bang on trash cans anymore. This team is good. This team is from top to bottom.
Here's where I'm at with this Bob Costas thing, because I've heard some people try to defend Bob Costas for what he said. He's saying, look, he's saying that the Astros are really good, that they're not just, you know, a representative of
He's backhandedly
stealing.
Trying to give them flowers.
My thing is, one, how do you lead off with Aaron Judge? Two, this is where you immediately go to, and then you also have some subtle jabs along the way. The whole finishing it with you banging on trash cans. This is the 2022 Houston Astros. They just swept the Yankees in the 2022 ALCS, and you're talking about things that happened in 2017, when if you have a brain, you know that this stuff was going on all around Major League Baseball, and that the Houston Astros were the poster child and were told to fall on the sword for the whole scandal. The setting of Bob Costas saying this was terrible. It's immediately after the Astros win the ALCS, and you immediately go there. Bob Costas, and we've been saying this for the entire postseason, straight trash, homie, Mr. Costas.
See my tweets?
I did not.
Because I tweeted right before the start of the postgame, and I said, how long will it take Bob Costas to bring up the 2017 cheating scandal and bring that up as a subject matter in the postgame? And within a minute of me tweeting that, he came on and did that little diatribe, and everybody was like, boom, right there. I go, it's uncanny how Mr. Like, he is the ethical police of baseball in his own mind.
He thinks he is.
Oh, my God. It's so annoying. And I knew it was coming, and you can't stop him. The only way you can stop him is stop putting him out there and giving him jobs to do baseball games anymore.
Yeah.
He's past his prime.
Get anybody out of there. Get Bob Costas out of there. Clean him up with the trash.
Here's another one of mine. All right? Sticking with the same kind of theme, because we ain't going to football for this. At least I'm not. I'm going to the guy that I also tweeted about. The green glove, the mouthpiece, the three hits, the cocky attitude, the every time he crowded the plate, he chuckled and, you know, was yucking with his teammates and thought that, you know, he's got that little snide kid down the block that's always, you know, trying to do something behind the parents' back and then acting like Eddie Haskell, for those of you old enough. Harrison Bader can kiss my ass and go fishing, because I'm glad he's going home. Everything he did, and good, you know what? I'm not trying to take all, he had a hell of a postseason for a guy that's supposed to be a defensive replacement in center field. But at the same time, the attitude, the demeanor, and the mouthpiece, bye.
Oh.
God, he's annoying.
I was, he's very cocky, man. Like, I was listening to some of, I listened to all the postgame stuff. He thinks that he's Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
Like, he thinks that he is the greatest center fielder of all time. And look, he's pretty good in the playoffs.
Yeah, like, but even on a walk,
to be honest, pretty good in the playoffs.
Even when he walks or he scores, he's, you know, with the facial expressions and the body language and the bat flips. I'm like, kiss all of my ass. He just annoys me.
I saw somebody on Twitter. I can't remember who put this, so my bad if you were that person and I can't cite you correctly. Let us know, 713-780-ESPN, that he took over the most punchable face from Jock Peterson.
Remember? And you know how much I can't stand Jock Peterson. He's right up there. That's a good call.
Yeah. He's annoying. Very much annoying. And that mouthpiece, too. That mouthpiece was grating on my wife. She hated that mouthpiece.
You know what that is, right?
I'm sure it's like one of those, it's a guard.
There's ramps in the back. And it's supposed to, like, it's like a TMJ thing.
It's injectable steroids?
No, it's supposed to give you more flexibility by how your teeth sit. And there's actually science behind it. But the fact that it's like Steph Curry with his mouthpiece. You know, if it's a mouthpiece, put it in place and leave it there. The fact that it's glorified chewing gum annoys the hell out of me.
King of Twitch says, clean up the trash. That entire TBS booth team sucked. I actually liked Brian Anderson. I liked Frank
I love
Ford.
Brian Anderson.
I liked Darling. I thought it was a pretty good crew, actually.
I don't mind listening to them, and that's saying something. I think that when you put it up against the fact that, you know, as an alternative, did you want Smoltz and just Joe Black? Is that who replaced
Joe Davis?
Joe Buck, Joe Davis.
I think Joe Black is part of Tenacious D.
Yeah, that's. Or I know who you're talking about, but King of Rock with Jack Black.
Same
yeah,
thing.
No, I mean that's like Johnny Lasagna.
What's Jack Black's brother's name?
Gray.
Is it Joe?
I don't know. All I know is that if you had your druthers, what would you take? The studio show that you heard last night with Costas and crew, or would you take Kevin Burkhard with Poppy and Pedro, and is Poppy with Pedro and with A-Rod? No, it's A-Rod, Frank Thomas, and Poppy.
Yeah, that's the Fox crew. And then you'll get Joe Davis and John Smoltz for the World Series.
Yeah, see, I would rather take. I'm with you. I like Darling and Frank Coeur and Brian Anderson as a play-by-play crew.
I like both of them. I don't mind that Fox crew. I think Davis and Smoltz do a pretty good job.
Smoltz gives you a lot of info. Yeah, I'm just not a big fan of the new play-by-play game.
He comes across, Smoltz does, like a little bit boring. Like, he didn't have a whole ton of excitement, but I think he's really smart. 713-780-ESPN. You want to get on some Astros, you can. 713-780-3776. And we'll ask you that trip, too. That question, too. Where does this sweep of the Yankees rank on the most satisfying non-title moments in Houston sports history? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Yeah. Yo, Black, it's time. Two and two, and Bregman into right center, a base hit. Alex Bregman delivers the go-ahead run.
You're listening to the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Alex Bregman, playoff mode, game-winning, the go-ahead RBI yesterday as the Astros win it 6-5. Astros sweeping the Yankees. The Astros swept the Yankees. Yankees been talking all this trash. We won Houston. The Astros sweep the Yankees. 713-780-ESPN. Where does this sweep rank on the most satisfying non-title moments in Houston sports history? Couple to keep in mind. Kiss of death, Mario Elie. Pretty high in Houston lore when it comes to sports.
Altuve's bomb against
great call
to get to the World Series.
Yeah, off Chapman.
Off Chapman.
The little breaking ball that he yanked out to left center field to walk off in 19. Oswalt's bulldozer game, you remember, game 6 of the 2005 NLCS. The Chris Burke 18-inning walk-off home run to beat the Braves in 2005, which sparked a World Series run. And then the Texans' first-ever playoff win. Remember the J.J. Watt pick six?
Oh, the pick six, yeah.
Against Carson Palmer?
Didn't Jeff Kent have a big hit in the playoffs, too, that won a game?
Jeff Kent hit a walk-off. It was against Andy Dalton, that's right. Jeff Kent hit a walk-off in Game 5 of the 2004 NLCS to give the Astros a 3-2 lead, one game away, and he was coming across home plate saying, one more.
Yep.
They got no more.
Yeah.
Cardinals went to the World Series in 2004. So where does this one rank? 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776, if you want to join in on the conversation. Jose, you're in the hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on, Jose?
What's going on, guys? Great win. Happy the Astros swept. But for me, this is not the top one. For me, I have to go with the Chris Burke one because as a kid, my dad would take me to the Astros playoff games. And we can never beat the Braves, and it's so frustrating. We always go home angry. Me and my dad wouldn't talk the whole way home because we're mad. And when Chris Burke, you know, especially how we actually got to that 18th inning with Brad Austin coming up with a big home run at the end there. But that was definitely number one for me because we finally got over the hump, and me and my dad were there so excited. And we, you know, my dad was so excited on the way home he couldn't stop talking about the Astros.
A little bit of a sentimental value there for Jose, which you can understand. You go to with a loved one, you can certainly understand why that would have some sentimental points over some of the others.
I got another one that we didn't talk about yet. The night that David Robinson got the MVP trophy in the playoffs and Dream basically told him they might
put him in the popcorn.
Yeah, they might have. He put the Dream Shake. That was where the Dream Shake was truly named and created, was when he did the triple move on David Robinson and said, you may have gotten that trophy. And Clive told me the story years later. When I was talking about, because I was livid, I came out of the TV truck looking for Bill Walton because he was so singing the praises of David Robinson and putting down Elijah Wan that my mentor, Steve Jones, stopped me and goes, kid, where are you going? I go, I'm going to find Walton. I've had enough. I can't listen to him say another bad thing about Elijah Wan. He goes, don't you know that everything he says, the opposite happens? Let it go. And I was talking to Clyde and I was telling him that story. And he goes, Joel, we sat in the locker room and we all looked at Dream. And he goes, I finally said, Dream, are you okay? And Dream, as calm as he normally was, said he looked at me and he said, Drex, he got the small trophy. We're going to get the bigger one. And he goes, we all just went nuts. We were like, this is what we wanted to hear. And then he went out and just absolutely put him in the spin cycle and made everybody believe he's the greatest center on the planet.
Yeah, that's pretty high on that list, too. Looks, The fact that it's the Yankees to me is what puts this in the conversation. Like, you win an ALCS, you've been there before, right? You've won four of these now, and the Astros have bigger fish to fry. But that it's the Yankees. And the Yankees, and, you know, you had Brian Cashman running his mouth before the start of the season that they did all of these, you know, terrible things when they were doing it before the Astros even were. And the former New York Yankees, what brought the system over to the Houston Astros. And then they hired that person that we're talking about. They have, he didn't make the ALCS roster, but they employed Marwin Gonzalez on their team for a good part of the year, who was the biggest benefactor of what was going on in 2017. Cameron Maben is also on their Yesen broadcast team. So, I mean, the Yankees just very hypocritical, so that it was the Yankees certainly adds to the allure of a sweep in the ALCS. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Chris, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on, Chris?
Yeah, hey, Joel, hey, Jeremy. Man, what a great weekend for the Astros and for Houston. First of all, I wanted to say Saturday, man, Hunter Brown matured before our eyes. I thought he handled that high-stress situation very good. It was great to see Christian in the game and participating. And I had a question before my dusty comment. I wasn't, you know, Pena deserved the MVP, but I was kind of surprised. You know, I wasn't really expecting him. I think Alex, you know, was probably in second place. I wanted you guys to comment on that if you were kind of surprised or if you guys were leaning another way. But in the last couple of weeks, what I really think has motivated this team, you know, as you guys know, athletes need motivation, you know, in different ways. I think the Do It for Dusty has really brought this team together, Jeremy. You know, I think that they are playing for him, you know, and the World Series, of course. But, you know, any kind of edge for that extra focus, you know, to continue these playoffs the way they are and not take a day off, and, you know, the Do It for Dusty chant has really started to pick up. And I think that's what's really bringing this team together. Great show, guys.
Appreciate it, Chris. Whatever it takes, right? However you get it done. I want him to get it done for Dusty, too, man. He's been a baseball lifer. He's a fun dude. Like, how can you not like him from a personality perspective? So I want Dusty Baker to get the World Series, too. And even if he does come back and the signs are pointing to him being back, so you can't say that it caps off what is a Hall of Fame career, but it's another feather in the cap for a Hall of Fame career for Dusty Baker, who should be a Hall of Famer without
it's
a shadow of a doubt.
It's literally like the one accomplishment that's missing from his resume, right? You know, mm-hmm. And they went over and over about what he did as a player, but then you kind of lose sight of the fact that as a manager, he's already, and with Bruce Bochy coming back, but, you know, he's already top 10 and every other guy around him in the wins rankings is in the Hall of Fame. The one thing that he doesn't have that a majority of those other managers have is that World Series title. He's been on the doorstep before. He's on this doorstep again. And you hope that he gets over the hump and gets that final crown jewel to what is otherwise just a stellar overall baseball resume.
As far as Hunter Brown, he was a little shaky.
Yeah, I was
in his appearance.
A little nervous about all that.
It ended up, you know, fine. You were able to get out of the inning. You won the game. You won game three, so it was fine. So it was nice to give him that experience. I think Hunter Brown might be a further down the pecking order in a World Series.
Look, as much as my son has grown up before my eyes and I don't have to give him tough love anymore in Abreu, and
man.
He was a, you know, he always worries me coming in, but, you
why?
Know, because he gets the job, but he got the job done. Look, the one ball was as close as you're going to get without a home run where I held my breath going, you know, I thought when it left the bat, I thought it was gone.
Yeah. But the Judge had one like that too in, was it game two?
Well, it was the roof, right?
Yeah.
But, you know,
the wind, yeah.
But when you look at what he's been able to do, he's literally grown up before our eyes to where he was just a mop-up type guy where they were trying to get him experience. And Dusty just decided right before the playoffs started, he's going to be one of my high-leverage guys. Keeps throwing him out there. And like you always say, it doesn't matter how you get there as long as you don't give up any runs. He hasn't given up any runs. His slider has been better with guys on base or in high-leverage situations. But overall, that fastball is just unbelievable, and he gives you another weapon to use out of the pen. So I was a little leery of Hunter Brown because I didn't want them to get too cute. Like, I know he needs to get more experience. This is still a pretty high-leverage series overall. I didn't want them to, like, give the Yankees any glimmer of hope, and he was shaky at best.
That was a good spot to use him if you were going to use him in the series. The best spot to use him in the series because you had the 5-run lead. Abreu just got two great pitches, man. I mean, he's got 99-mile-per-hour fastball that can touch 100.
That wipeout slider is devastating.
And then the slider might be one of the best sliders in the league. Like, this dude would be a closer for 20 of the 30 Major League Baseball teams. His stuff is absolutely electric. And some of the concerns that, you know, Brian Abreu caused for himself early in the season and previously in his career, the command has been an issue with Brian Abreu over the course of his career. He has settled that down. Sometimes he wasn't great in the past when runners got on base to be able to shake that off and get out of an inning, but all of those things have been alleviated. I think it's, what, 12 appearances in a row where Brian Abreu's not given up a run. I've been a huge Brian Abreu guy. Even I am shocked that Brian Abreu has climbed the pecking order once the playoffs started. He's more of a high-leverage guy than Ryan Stanek right now.
No, he is, and that's the way Dusty's been using him. And you know my biggest argument and beef with Brian Abreu is he's got a million-dollar arm with million-dollar stuff. But there was a majority of the regular season where whether he let runs score or not.
Well, he didn't let many runs score.
I understand. You always emphasize that when I bring this up, but I'm still going to make this point in the fact that the million-dollar arm was led by a lot of things going on between his ears, that it was one thing when there was no one on base and he was just looking like Cy Young material. And then the minute he, a lot of times self-inflicted, he'd get guys on base. Then suddenly he didn't have the command of the slider. He didn't have command of his secondary pitches. And he didn't realize what a lot of pitchers do, which is, don't go away from the fact that you got a 100-mile-an-hour fastball that even if you don't have anything else can get guys out. But he has figured it all out. He has taken some monstrously big steps in the playoffs to overcome not only what he was dealing with, but to get this team out of big jams. So he's got my full confidence in the fact that I love the fact that he has grown up and has become what he's become for this team.
His numbers this year, and like we don't need to get back into it, but his numbers this year with runners on base have been elite. They've been fantastic. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Get Joe in here real quick. Joe, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on, my man?
Hey, man. What's happening?
What's up, Joe?
I know Pena's been, he was the MVP of the series. But, man, I think a lot of us are losing sight of what our bullpen and closer has been doing, man. We got to get Preston some love. This dude go out there and he take care of business.
Joe, you're not wrong. I just think I think we lose sight of how much love needs to go around. There's only so much love you can go around. He's not going to win MVP of the series, but the fact that we were talking about a guy that we were questioning whether he could go 2 days in a row as your closer in the middle of the season and was trying to figure out, remember, start of the season, we were trying to figure out if his velocity would be back, if it was his knee or if it was other things, was he having some arm issues? And now we're talking about a guy that just all he did was go out and just turn off the lights and turn and make sure the party was over every single time he's taken the mound. And his breaking stuff has been unbelievable. Even last night when he decided to spot his fastball, he was putting it right where he wanted it. And if that's what your closer is right now at the best and most important time of the year, Presley obviously deserves and has earned a ton of love.
713-780-ESPN, I echo that. Presley's been fantastic. Haven't given a run on the postseason, and has done it back-to-back days, which there were some times in the summer didn't look great on back-to-back days. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. You want to get in on the Astros the day they sweep the Yankees, you can do so. Let's look at the Phillies for just a second. We won't take the deep dive on the Phillies just yet because we have 4 days until the World Series kicks off, Game 1 on Friday. But are you getting 2019 Nats, 2021 Braves vibes from the Phillies? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.